The elected representatives of the people of America have become our enemies. More specifically, every House member and senator who voted for the National Defense Authorization Act of 2017 with full knowledge that contained within this bill was the Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act of 2016 has cited against the very principles established by the Founding Fathers of America and has attempted to overrule and make of no effect our most cherished and important Bill of Rights, which contains, among other important and necessary declarations, this one, that Congress shall make no law that abridges the freedom of speech or of the press. Stay tuned for my conversation with Josh Tolley, host of The Josh Tolley Show, the book Evangelpreneur, author and speaker, next on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Welcome, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. As always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, you can listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. I have the honor and the privilege of talking with Josh Tolley tonight. Welcome to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show, Josh.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and a privilege, sir.
Josh, it's no secret to listeners of your show or of Soaring Eagle Radio that freedom and liberty in America have been under siege for quite some time. You talk about it often. And I want to discuss the latest, what I call, aberration from Mr. Obama. And I want to preface the conversation with this. And that is that the fact of the matter is that freedom and liberty are based upon strong and independent citizen journalists. Freedom of speech and of the press really is the backbone of any free people. When a government attacks, condemns, and attempts to impede through manipulation, false narratives, and even legislation, as is the case, the free exercise of speech among its citizens, the government has really become a tyranny and is such an enemy of the people. And in that event, I believe that the people are obligated to rise up and replace that government with one that is truly representative of the people. Is that an accurate summary, Josh, of what we're facing right now with the recent passage of the NDAA and the bill that was tucked within that, that's called the Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act of 2016?
Yeah, I would think that Thomas Jefferson and George Washington would agree with that assessment, yeah. And the dangerous thing here is that they do it little by little. And they're really smart. They always wrap it in. Patriotism.
Yes.
So, you know, kind of like the Patriot Act. There was nothing patriotic about the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act would have been cause for patriots to take to the streets in 1776.
That's right.
So they do a very good job on hiding and shrouding what they're doing, saying that they do it for our protection, throw in words like foreign and, you know, counter instead of what the real gist of the bill is, and then it pops up, and before you know it, we've lost a freedom. And what they hope happens is that we get used to the freedom being gone, so that way we don't try to exercise it at all.
That's right. Yeah, it's sort of like the analogy of the frog in the kettle. They're hoping that we don't notice that they're turning up the temperature on it before it's too late.
Yeah, yeah. And a great example of that in another area of life is the Second Amendment. When my dad was going to school, he used to take his gun to show and tell. During hunting season, him and his buddies would put the guns in the corner so after school they could go out and hunt pheasant. Well, no gun rights organization in the country would advocate for that today.
Yes, sir.
Well, nothing changed. The freedom's still the freedom. People are still people. Guns are still as dangerous or as safe, depending on the user. Nothing has changed. But the mindset has changed, and they do a lot of regulation by proxy through the changing of the mindset, and that's what we have to be careful with this bill.
Yes, yeah. Proof of that for our listeners is the timing of this bill. If I recall, Josh, it was really just before Christmas. It may have even been, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it may have even been Friday the 23rd of December when President Obama and let me point this out, along with his cohorts in the Republican-controlled Congress,
yes,
signed that into law.
Yeah, yeah. Not only was it in the afternoon on Friday before Christmas, and Friday afternoons are usually when they do data dumps anyway.
Yes.
They try to hope that nobody's paying attention. The week before Christmas, nobody's paying attention.
Yep.
But you bring up a very valid and interesting point. This was not a bill that Obama wrote.
Correct.
This was written by the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all these conservative Christians out there who constantly say, oh, we got to vote Republican, vote Republican, vote Republican. Well, this was Republican.
That's right.
Which is why there's even some concern moving forward, because in order to get a bill undone, and we can talk about this later if you want, but that same party is still in control. So you would have to get that party to want to undo the bill that they wrote.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And in preparation for our conversation, Josh, I actually went out to the Internet and found H.R. 5181, which is the Counter Foreign Disinformation and Propaganda Act. And I believe it's right on Congress's website. You can find this. It's out there. I downloaded it. It was introduced into the House of Representatives on May the 10th of 2016. So they've been messing around with this for months before they snuck it into the defense authorization.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And what they do, and this is a really big point, too. What they do is they make sure that it's attached to another bill that won't be undone. Because some people, when I reported this, some people were like, well, just repeal the bill. It doesn't work that way. You would have to repeal the entire bill. You'd have to repeal NDAA 2017, which is $611 billion would all have to be undone in order to get to this one little sentence. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. And they know that. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
So they kind of insulated it. It's kind of like when you put a piece of cheese with dog medicine in it so your dog will take it. That's what this was.
That's a great analogy. Yeah. Well, the Defense Authorization Act, the bill that was passed with this one tucked very neatly, the Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act, tucked very neatly within that, really was a poison pill, so to speak, because even the wording of this, Josh, it they actually name, for our listeners that haven't read it yet, they actually name Russia and China as primary sources of disinformation, and they do that very early in the bill itself. And I think what they've done by doing that, and my own opinion is that it was intentional, but they've diverted people's attention from the exact wording of the bill, because they get a little looser with the language as they go through the bill, don't they?
Yes, they do. Now think about what you just said, and I know your audience is going to pick this up right away. They're going to say, wait a second, didn't you say that they originally wrote this thing in May? Yes. And isn't this fake news thing coming out right before Christmas with Russia?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So they knew they were going to blame Russia way back in May.
Correct.
They needed to have this scapegoat. And, you know, it's interesting, too. I got contacted from somebody who listened to the show, and they said, well, Josh, I was on Government Tracker, and the bill hasn't made it out of the House of Representatives. And that's not how bills work, because there was a Senate version of this bill.
That's right.
S-2943. It's the Senate bill that made it through both houses and the president's desk while everybody was watching the House bill get bogged down. And that's a common tactic. Yes. If you remember about, a year and a half ago Ron Paul's kid, Rand.
Oh, Rand. Mm-hmm.
When Rand was filibustering at the same time in the House, they were passing a spending bill. So they're very good at saying, hey, look at my left hand, don't pay attention to my right hand.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, let's talk about specifically, Josh, what this bill does, because a lot of folks say, well, what's wrong with holding Russia or China or any other foreign government accountable for what they may be trying to do through disinformation or propaganda or anything else? Shouldn't we be doing that? Well, how do you answer that?
Well, that's an interesting point. First, we have to look back and say, what have we done? What's our policy? Hmm. Do we do this in other places?
Oh, yeah.
And the answer is absolutely yes.
Yeah.
President Barack Obama spent $200 million on foreign propaganda into Israel trying to get Benjamin Netanyahu unseated.
That's right.
If it wasn't for the foreign press and foreign media, we wouldn't have won the Revolutionary War, because Benjamin Franklin went over to France for that very purpose, to generate media on how people needed to support at the time, the American rebels. So foreign press doesn't negate press. Press is press. The
yes.
government should not have any bearing on what is and what is not press, foreign or domestic. But if we dig a little bit deeper into that, there's a couple other little thorns that come up. And the next thorn is, what is foreign? Now, it is not coincidence that in October, we handed control of the internet over to an international body.
Mm-hmm.
That means that just like what we saw with the Patriot Act. Remember, the Patriot Act, they promised we're not spying on domestic phone calls.
That's
well,
right.
Let's say they wanted to spy on you and me, and we're both in the United States. So we're thinking, oh, we're safe, right? No. What they would do is they would route that call into Canada and then route it back. Now it's become a foreign phone call. Now I can listen to it without the warrant.
That's right.
So the same thing is being true with the internet. Oh, well, Drudge is an American company. Well, technically, he just bounced off of four routers in Europe. It's now a foreign website. Boom, shut it down.
Yes.
So you have to be really, really careful. I mean, they're geniuses when it comes to legalese. It's literally a town full of lawyers.
Yes.
And they're going to figure out a way to make whatever it is you're doing foreign anyway. But
yes.
Beyond that, it's really important to note that everything is just a step towards something else. When they talk about foreign, or when they talk about foreign disinformation and propaganda act, why does the propaganda part have to be foreign? It just says foreign disinformation.
Right.
So if I were to say, let's get some Chinese food and some fries, would you assume the fries were Chinese? No, the food was Chinese.
Yes.
The and separates this a little bit. So it gives them some legal wiggle room as well. And the other interesting part to this is that foreign governments are now lining up all at the same time. You have Turkey, Russia, France, Canada, Spain. You know, I think there's like 16 of them, all classifying fake news. Now, that's a term nobody even talked about 18 months ago.
That's right.
But now all of these countries all agree that this is some large threat that they all need to stop, even though we can't identify radical Islam as a terrorist threat or an enemy.
Yes. Yeah.
We can certainly identify fake news. Give me a break.
Yeah. And that's an excellent point, Josh. This administration has steadfastly refused to identify radical Islam as a threat, but they have the audacity to try and tell the American people what constitutes fake news. One of the things that I found alarming, and there were several related to this topic, Josh, is just who is involved in analyzing information and data and then making a determination about what constitutes fake news. People might be surprised to learn that the Secretary of Defense, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, as if he doesn't or she doesn't have anything better to do than to analyze what constitutes fake news, the Secretary of State, the United States Secretary of State, sits as an ex officio member of, they're actually called the Broadcast Board of Governors. That oversees the analysis of data and the determination of what constitutes fake news or propaganda. And as I looked at the board, this board of directors, Josh, yep. I'll just let you take it from there.
Well, I mean, you have people on here like the chairman of Universal.
Yes.
Well, wait a second. So let's back up a little bit. So in this last presidential election campaign, we saw NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox News, CNBC, all these news outlets, New York Post, New York Times, all get in bed with the Democrats.
Yes. Yes.
So some of those companies are owned by Universal.
Yes.
So you're telling me the chairman of that company is going to be on the board to determine what is and what is not fake?
Yes.
That wouldn't be allowed in a fifth grade class, let alone what should constitute as government. But then you keep going. You have Dr. Leon Aaron, who's mm-hmm. a resident scholar and director of Russian studies.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a second. You know, and if these people weren't wearing suits and ties, you would say this is laughable.
Yes.
Somehow, you know, this has now become the people who are going to determine what is and what is not true, along with the entities, like you said, the State Department and the Defense Department. And there's this myth out there that says, well, you know, they're just going to provide the true source and leave it up to the journalists. One, they have no business in determining what is the true source.
That's right.
Two, that's just step one. Three, it doesn't stop there, because if you look right now, companies like Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, you know, all these internet sort of distribution hubs, they are being held responsible for the fake news. So it's kind of, again, like regulation by proxy. Well, we're not telling you have to listen to us, but if you don't, we're going to fine you. Well, then you're telling me I have to listen to you.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest.
That's right. Yep.
And in Facebook's case, according to fake news war efforts in Spain, they're going to face a $500,000 fine every time they let fake news continue on their site. Now, you can make an argument whether they're in on it or not, and I think they are, but the reality is it's irrelevant, because no company is going to say, okay, yeah, we're going to let somebody post fake news and we're going to pay $500,000 for the fine. So this is extremely dangerous, and I don't think people understand the danger that this truly poses to America.
Yeah, I don't believe they do either, Josh, and I think that the mainstream, the ones that are behind this, trying to push this agenda, which irony of irony, as you've already pointed out, are the very purveyors of fake news in the first place, the mainstream media. But I don't think most people understand the end game that's been really foisted upon us here. And I wanted to make one more point before we moved on, Josh, because you brought up Dr. Leon Aaron. And if you look him up on the Broadcast Board of Governors website, it says very plainly that he was a weekly contributor at the Voice of America's Russian language radio and television show. Now, a lot of people that are younger people my age, they know what Voice of America is. But let me tell you something. Voice of America, along with Radio Free Europe, along with Radio Free Asia, along with the Middle East Broadcast Network, Al-Hura TV and Radio Sawa, those are all, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Josh, those are all U.S. propaganda media outlets that are broadcasting into these other nations in their language. We're trying to get our message to them that's going to contradict their own government's message. Is that not true?
That is absolutely true. And we spend a ton of money trying to make sure that happens. But, I mean, even if you look at their management team, you have Maria Gonzalez, who is the director of Cuba Broadcasting. Wait a second. This is the American Board of Broadcast Governors?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, it's really insane once you start looking into this.
Yeah.
And this is why we have to be really careful not to fall for this fake religion called patriotism.
Yes.
They almost get us to feel bad if they wrap something in a flag and we oppose it. They get to throw at you, well, aren't you a patriot? And unfortunately, because we want to be, we say, oh, no, keep doing whatever you want to do. I mean, for goodness sake, if it's really something that we should have, you wouldn't have to do it on December 23rd in the afternoon.
That's exactly right, Josh. One of the alarming things, and we touched on this issue briefly, but I want to point this out for our listeners. And again, I hope that folks will go out and download this bill for themselves and give it a read, because it's very alarming. But under subsection B, functions, it says the center shall carry out the following functions. And I want to call people's attention to section 2 or subsection 2 and 3. And this is what it says. It's under functions. The center shall carry out the following functions: collecting, integrating, and analyzing relevant information, including intelligence reporting, data analysis, and analytics from United States government agencies, allied nations, think tanks, academic institutions, civil society groups, and other non-governmental organizations. Now, that should make the hair on back people's neck stand up. But get this. Here's subsection or subparagraph 3 under section B, functions: developing and disseminating fact-based narratives and analysis to counter propaganda and disinformation directed at United States allies and partners. Now, those two paragraphs, paragraph 2 and 3 under subsection B, functions, says absolutely nothing about these activities being aimed at foreign organizations.
Right. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
They expect us to miss that.
No. Because you're right. Because, you know, when we had that Patriot Act and all the other stuff that went along with it, they redefined even what a terrorist is.
That's true.
Which is why they don't use that word often. Because a terrorist is anybody who opposes the established government.
Yes. That's right.
Well, that could be anybody. Depends on who's in charge of the government. One day you're a patriot, the next day you're a terrorist, based on what the government decides it wants to do.
Yeah. And the listeners, longtime listeners to my show, Josh, this will not be a surprise to them because I've said it many times, but people like me, people like you, we're already labeled as domestic terrorists. I'm on the list because I happen to believe that the Bible is the Word of God and what it says is true and that it has prophetic implications for our future. It has instructions on how we're to live day by day. And because of that, I am a threat to the United States government. Now, those listeners that might be new to the program and they're just hearing that and they're shaking their heads thinking, Mike, you're crazy. I want you to go out and do some searching and downloading, and you can find this out there because it's there. The United States government is teaching at our military war colleges that evangelical, conservative evangelical Christians who believe that the Bible is the Word of God are domestic terrorists. I know you've heard that, Josh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And not to support or endorse any candidate, but if you remember back when Ron Paul was running, speaking of Rand Paul, there was, I think, Alabama, Arkansas, some state like that, where they actually put out a warning what to look for. And one of the things to look for was a Ron Paul bumper sticker.
Ah, yes, I think that was Alabama. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have seriously fallen down this path. And people who think America is still America, they're living in a delusional world.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that the end game, as far as it concerns all of us that are in the so-called alt media, and I don't really like using that because we're just citizen journalists. That's how I look at myself. I'm just trying to get information out to people, and I always encourage, just like I do when I'm preaching from the pulpit on a Sunday, hey, you don't have to believe me. You've got a Bible. Check it out for yourself. You don't have to believe a word comes out of my mouth. You've got a lot of resources. Go check it out. I know you encourage people to do the same thing. So that's all I'm saying, folks. You need to get educated on these things and what's going on in our country today and the things that they're trying to really imprison us by. That's what's going on.
Yeah, and if you're a believer, use your God-given discernment. Does this move me closer to or further from God? And if it's further from God, then I don't care how many times they put a flag on it, it's not good, period.
Right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. And there have been some lists flying around, and I've seen some names on some lists, but I think that they very definitely have targeted folks like Alex Jones, the Drudge Report. Well, our friends over at Skywatch TV, I think they'll make the list. You'll make the list for sure, Josh.
Sure.
I mean, the government is really taking off the gloves, and they're really showing us that they're not going to tolerate this anymore. So we've got a battle on our hands coming up, I think.
Yeah, we do. And it's a battle on multiple fronts because we fight not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood just happens to be the representation of the powers, principalities of darknesses, and that's what we're fighting.
Yes.
But the fight has to take multiple fronts. You know, just like any war, there's multiple fronts. And I think they have us so distracted. I mean, look what happened, right? This bill came out essentially just gutting the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And what did we focus on instead? We focused on the death of George Michael, Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds, and whoever else died.
Yes.
And yeah, death is tragic and it's sad, but that was the focus. Again, pay no attention to what's going on. Look over here.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's worked rather effectively over the years too, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, when our grandparents warned us about, you know, you kids and that rock and roll music, and, you know, our fathers and grandfathers were like, oh, no, you're just crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were so crazy anymore.
Yeah.
Because, like Hitler said, give me the music of one generation. And yes. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
And now we are so captivated by, like, that Kim Kardashian lady. And, you know, like, we care about nothing.
Yeah.
As in, the stuff we care about amounts to nothing.
Yeah.
Yet the important stuff, we're getting calloused hearts towards. I mean,
Look,
there was a mother in Chicago crashed into a tree, and instead of people running to her aid, they ran to loot the car.
Oh, no.
There was a guy who had a heart attack in a McDonald's line, and the customer stepped over him. Like, there is no denying that the world around us is changing. And as believers, we need to double down on our commitment to live the Word, not just be hearers of the Word, but be doers of the Word.
Yes, amen. That's a good word of encouragement, Josh, for our listeners, is to be reminded that we should be doers of the Word. Righteousness, righteous deeds and acts, looks like something very, very specific. And in a world of darkness that we live in, it's really going to be a glaring contrast with what's going on. So that's a good word, and I pray that our listeners will take that to heart. Josh, let's talk just a little bit about your book and sure. Where listeners can find that at. I imagine they can go to your website and purchase it there, or probably on Amazon.
Yeah, they can go anywhere they want, any bookstore or anywhere that all the retailers carry it. It's called Evangelpreneur. It's not my latest book, but it's the one that's causing the most commotion in the believing world because it's empowering people. The subtitle of the book is actually How Biblical Free Enterprise Can Empower Faith, Family, and Freedom. And, you know, it's interesting. We're talking about this battle we're in. There has never been a people group ever in the history of man that has gotten their freedom and not had an element of free enterprise with it. That's even including the Hebrew slaves leaving Egypt. So we need to get back to this place where churches teach entrepreneurship. Right now, Christianity is dominated by two things. Either poverty gospel, money's not important, but make sure you give me 10% on the way out, or prosperity gospel, mm-hmm. where it's, you know, you don't have to do anything, just buy my magical handkerchief for $900 and you'd be a millionaire on Tuesday. And we're not actually teaching anything.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what this book has come along to do. You know, it's really interesting. In the Bible, we see four types of people: masters, laborers, servants, and slaves. We know what a master and a slave is, so we'll set those aside. But that leaves servants and laborers. If you looked at a servant had to start his day at a specific time when the master told him to. Mm-hmm. Well, what time do we go to work? And the servant could leave work and go to their dwelling quarters when the master told them they could. Mm-hmm. Well, what time are we done? And if a servant saved up money, because yes, servants were paid, if servants saved up their money, they could one day buy their freedom. Today we call that retirement. Mm. But if a servant really loved their employer, their master, they could go to the city gate, put an awl through their ear, take their master's mark. Today we call that tenure and pension. Mm. So we in churches, we are teaching servitude to money. Mm. And that's a direct violation of what Matthew says,
yeah.
where it says you cannot serve God and money at the same time. Not that it's bad, not that it's a sin, not that you shouldn't. You cannot. It's impossible.
Yes.
If you're serving money, you're not serving God. And we have gotten away from what the Bible teaches when it comes to making money. And it's sad, you know, in America, the average married couple spends 19 minutes of alone time together
a
day.
Oh, my.
Yet they spend 8 hours away from their family making a living. So where do you think most affairs happen?
Mm-hmm.
At work.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the overall premise. It's not about becoming a millionaire or a billionaire or anything like that. It's about what does the Bible actually say about money? Because as a business guy, I got sick and tired of either, you know, well, just get out of debt and money's not that big of a deal, or yeah. some sort of weird prosperity thing.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. The name of the book is Evangelpreneur. Evangelist, evangelpreneur, like entrepreneur, which I think, John, did you come up with that? Did you hear somebody talking?
No,
you
thought, I did come up with that.
That's
I did
a
come
great
up with
title.
That because what I've noticed is, again, going back to that topic, we are missing the number one opportunity for evangelism. You know, you have right now the number one cause for divorce is money. Number one cause of cancer, which is stress. Number one cause of stress is money. Number one cause for suicide, which now claims more life than traffic accidents. Mm-hmm. Number one cause for suicide, money. Number one cause for drug abuse and alcohol abuse, money. So you have a broken world
yes.
coming to believers. Now, they don't care about the root word of the Aramaic of blah, blah, blah. They don't
right.
they don't know they should.
Yeah.
They're coming to you saying, I am literally dying.
Yes.
I'm dying out here because of money. And they come into a church and we say, oh, money's not important, so we'll just slap a cross on it.
Mm.
Do the same thing the world yeah. is doing and expect a different result because you put a cross on it? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of the reason why it's called Evangelpreneur, because even though I have preached on street corners, I have never seen anything that leads more people to a real repentance conversion than business. And I know that sounds weird, but Jesus even did it himself. He fed them, then he preached to them.
Hmm.
He healed them, then he preached to them. The Bible tells us what good is it to say, go be blessed, and the guy is cold and we don't give him a coat.
Yeah.
So there's a very real aspect to this. And when 4 out of 5 Americans are at or near poverty, and the church isn't talking about this, we're missing the number one opportunity.
Wow. Perfect. Evangelpreneur, how biblical free enterprise can empower your faith, family, and freedom, by Josh Tolley. And you can get that on his website, joshtolley.com. Visit there, get that. There's a couple of other books out there. We won't, if you don't mind, Josh, quit your job or die. What's the inspiration for that?
Well, that was actually my first book. See, I've been an entrepreneur for a really long time. And, you know, people kept telling me, well, you know, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm handicapped, or I have a jail record, or I don't know what I would do, or, you know, what would I do 5 days a week? All these sort of things that really don't apply to small business ownership. So I wrote the book, and initially I was going to call it Potatoes versus Ivy. And in the process of writing it, I realized how dangerous employment actually is. Like right now, for example, most people don't know this, but if you are getting paid by somebody else, regardless of how much it is, statistics tell us that within 10 years of retirement, you're going to be dead or broke. And the reason that is because no retirement package gives you a 10% increase every year in pay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, inflation's been 10% every year since 1871.
Mm.
And like, for example, let me read you this. This is the practical poverty level. It's an article I wrote 10 years ago. I'm not going to read the article, just the list. What I did was I took the 12 foundational expenses in America. Now, I know some of the people might not have all of these things on their list, but this is the national average. Rent or housing, $1,000. Car insurance, $144. Cell phone, $73, I wish.
Yeah.
Utilities, $264. Cable and internet, $100. Food, $332. Gas, $220. Car payment, $466. Savings for retirement, because we're all doing that, right? $395. College loan payment, $575. Life insurance, $33. Health insurance, $402. Now, nothing on there would be greedy. None of that would be, oh, Josh, you're talking about millions and billions.
Mm-hmm.
Just that list of 12 foundational expenses is $70,000.
Wow.
And because we don't teach that, I mean, mm-hmm. I hope you live someplace warm, because I didn't even put clothes on the list.
Yeah, right.
But because we don't teach that, we have an entire generation thinking $100,000 to $200,000 a year is good.
Yeah.
But if you look back, $200,000 a year now is the equivalent of about, I think it's about $37,000 when I was born.
Oh, boy.
Well,
wow.
That's not sustainable.
No, that's right.
And that's why a lot of articles are calling, you know, 200 grand a year now affluent poor. And that's not to dishearten anybody who doesn't make 200 grand a year. That's not it at all. But it's a marker to show us, folks, for the past 100 years, we have been lied to when it comes to money, mm-hmm. how to make it, how to save it, and how to retire on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, I also want to give you an opportunity, Josh, because I just imagine that some of our listeners, you've got them really ramped up now, and the wheels are turning, and they're starting to think about some things, and they say, you know what, I think I could really benefit from these books, but you've got something better coming up in February 17th, 18th, and 19th, if folks are interested. They can spend 3 days listening to you, can't they?
Yes, they can. We're doing a Business of Life seminar in the St. Louis area. It's actually in an Illinois suburb, but we're calling it St. Louis. They can go on our website to find out about that. It's a 3-day event. It's absolutely amazing. It's changed lives. It's just an amazing, amazing event. And what listeners will see is this event is open to believers and non-believers alike. It's just open to everybody.
Yeah.
And what they'll witness is by the end of the event, you will have people making conversion decisions without a single conversion message needing to be preached.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the craziest thing. It's like the gospel lived out. It's just amazing. But if they can't make it, I want to offer you, all of your listeners, the opportunity to engage in some of this sort of training for free. If they go to purplemonkeyuniversity.com, they can sign up for our Business of Life training online, It's a monthly thing. Once a week, we give you a lesson and some homework and all that sort of stuff. And if they put in the code Happy New Year, they'll get the first month completely free on me. And Don't think it's just for business owners. We have pastors that come through this course. We have parents come through this course. That's why we called it the business of life, because all of life is kind of covered in the same principles.
Yes.
So we do that there as well. And then, of course, you and I are both going to be at Hear the Watchman.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes. That's coming up at the end of March, March the 31st through April the 2nd. And that's going to be in Dallas.
Yes. I'm so excited for that event. Now, this is your first to Hear the Watchman, correct?
This is. Yes, it certainly is. And I've heard a lot of things about it, and I'm looking forward to being a part of it and really, really witnessing God moving among people and changing minds and changing hearts and just creating a revival of sorts among the remnant to encourage us in these days.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the stats tell us that 3 million people a year leave faith entirely. But what's interesting is those who are left behind, that remnant, are becoming stronger in their faith.
Yes.
They're living it out. They're studying the Word, not just reading it.
Yes.
And it's amazing what we're seeing. And you mentioned something earlier before we talked and did this interview about how you're the sort of pastor who talks about things that most pastors just won't talk about from a pulpit.
Yes.
And that's why I'm so excited for you to come to Hear the Watchman and for your listeners to come. Because what Hear the Watchman does is exactly that. This past election cycle, I met no less than 15 people who told me point blank, Josh, I stopped going to church because church stopped being relevant.
Yeah.
They weren't talking about anything that applied to my actual life. They were telling me, you know, feel good messages about Mother's Day or something. But they weren't telling me, hey, this candidate XYZ, your government ABC. So what Hear the Watchman has done is it kind of fills this void for people who are believers, but they want real practical teaching. Like,
yes.
Like, you know, when you read the apostles, it wasn't, well, it's Father's Day, we hope you feel good today and remember your dad and let's have a barbecue. No, they were talking about real stuff.
That's right.
They're like, what do you do if this happens? And that's what Hear the Watchman does.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I appreciate that word of encouragement to our listeners, Josh. And I'll give them one example of what you were speaking about. When I had talked with Mike about being a part of it, he said pretty much that same thing. He said, I am excited to have you come because we need pastors who are actually talking about what's going on in our country today. And I said, well, I'll give you an example. This past, I'm teaching through the book of Psalms right now on Sunday morning, and we were in Psalm 79. And so I encourage our listeners, go read Psalm 79 and then figure out for yourself where I was able to tie in this brand new U.S. Ministry of Propaganda that has just been created by the Obama administration. But I talked about the Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act within the context of Psalm 79. You can do it, folks. There are pastors out there that are being faithful to preach the Word, but also to take the headlines that's happening right now in real time and say, here's an example of what the Bible is talking about right here. Folks, that fires people up. That gets them excited about their faith. That puts feet to their faith, and they get out and they start to do, as Josh was talking about earlier, to do things, not just be hearers, but be doers as well.
Well, of course, and it makes it relevant, because when we see anybody from Abraham to Paul talking about the world around them, they're talking about the real world around them.
That's right.
And somehow, instead of talking about the real world around us, we go back and we talk about the world around Paul.
Yeah.
And then we don't understand how it applies to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point. Very good point, Josh. Well, what other projects, if any, do you have going on? I know you're a very, very busy man. And so I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today. Do you have any other projects going on you want to mention to our listeners and point them where they might find some more information?
Oh, gosh, yeah, we got a ton of stuff. So we got Purple Monkey University for online training. We're constantly adding classes and types of classes. It's not just business. I mean, we have writing courses up there. We're about to have some health courses. We are also opening Purple Monkey garage locations across the country to help people in this process. So we're opening offices across the country doing that. And then I got, I think, 14 or 15 more books slated to come out. The next one is Why They Don't Believe, The Real Reason Your Friends Don't Believe in God and What You Can Do About It. And that's coming out later this year, so I'm excited about that. And, of course, hopefully more and more hear the Watchman events, because I love to see those lives changed at those events.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to want to find out more information about these Purple Monkey garages. That is very catchy. And after hearing you describe Purple Monkey University and what you're doing and equipping people through that format, I can't wait to hear about Purple Monkey garages across the country. That sounds very exciting.
Oh, it is. And, you know, if people like Purple Monkey, that's such a weird name. What does that have to do with anything? Go to Purple Monkey Garage, and you can actually read the story of how that name came into being. And it came into being because the short version is somebody tried to kill me. Somebody tried to attempt murder. And there's a link between Purple Monkeys, oddly enough, and how I survived that. So
I kind
of named the company after that event.
Yes. Wow. Well, go to Google or whatever search engine you use, Start Page or whatever you use, Purple Monkey Garages, and you can find out the story. So, Josh, I really appreciate the time you've spent with me, and I look forward to seeing you in Dallas at the end of March, and perhaps we can do this again soon.
Yes, absolutely. I look forward to it myself. I look forward to meeting you down there in Dallas and, of course, your listeners. And we'll definitely have to do this again, because I have a feeling the government's not going to be letting up anytime soon.
That's a big amen. You're right about that, Josh. God bless you, my friend. Thank you for
you
being
too,
on the
sir.
Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and of course follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. You can visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address.